This is Jane McMillan interviewing Peter Beckett at his home on 83 Sharon Road in Lakeville, Connecticut. The date is Tuesday, August 9th, 2011.
You want to test it to see if it works?
May I have your full name?
You may have my full name. Peter Logan Beckett, B-E-C-K-E-T.
And your birth date and place?
It is July 18th, 1940 in Manhattan.
And do you have siblings?
I have two siblings.
And would you give a little information about your siblings?
Good heavens. I have an older brother, James Beckett, who was born in October 1936, and a younger sister, who was born in August of 1941.
How did your parents come to Connecticut?
That was prompted by my mother's association with the Norfolk, Connecticut area. Her family summered in the area, and I believe they were members of the Norfolk Country Club, and I believe that's when my parents first met. They did movies together.
May I have the names, complete names, of both parents?
Yes, my parents. George Campbell Beckett, born in May of 1901, and my mother, Elise Granberry Beckett, born July 4th, 1908.
What kind of movies did they make at the Norfolk Country Club?
These were good movies, 16mm, very professionally done with titles, and they were adventure stories of saving the damsel in distress kind of things. That's all I can remember. I've seen them and I don't remember much, but they were quite well done for that era.
And what year did they move to Canaan?
Yes, they lived in Manhattan, and it's my recollection that in the late 30s, probably 1938, they bought a place in Canaan and fixed that up.
Was that College Farm? College Inn Farm?
See, I have no idea.
Right.
You have a better idea than I do. This is a period when my father worked for the Davis Polk Wardwell and Green, I believe the name was, law firm in New York City. And he was weighing the idea of moving up to this area full time. There weren't any lawyers around. And George Millmine, who lived and worked next to Hotchkiss School, said, "Cam, you've got to come up here and work as an attorney." So my father was somehow juggling working between New York and up in this area, and at some point did make the transition. And that might take us to the next step, where they rented a house in Lakeville known as the Ferris House to us, which is now known, I believe, as the Bissell House.
And that is where?
And that was at the corner of, probably is it Bissell Street and Main Street, and was moved back to towards the Lakeville Journal present office, and is where the Salisbury Bank and Trust Company has its trust department. So we were in that building in the early 40s.
Okay.
And we have pictures to prove.
I'm sure you do. Tell me a bit about your education.
From A to Z, I attended Town Hill School, which I guess at the time was, you would know, an offshoot of Hotchkiss School.
Yes, it was.
And there was, what, a Mrs. Judy Smith, I believe, was a teacher, and certainly Mrs. Kiera, Mr. Kiara was the minister for St. John's Church in Salisbury. And I went there from 1950. I think that's correct. And then went on to Indian Mountain. Went from Indian Mountain to 1950 to 1954. From there to Exeter, New Hampshire, 1954 to 1958. You're looking a little puzzled, but I think the dates are right.
I'm looking a little puzzled because Mrs. Kiara is my sister-in-law, and I didn't realize that she'd ever worked at Town Hill. I knew she'd worked at Indian Mountain, but didn't know she was at Town Hill.
This was, I remember very distinctly her being there when I got out of the kindergarten portion into the next room, and she taught there. Now that would be with Mrs. Garrity.
Yes, yes.
So the two of them worked together. Then I guess from, let's see, 1958, that was, I had done so poorly at Exeter that they felt I needed seasoning before going on to college. And I worked out at Squaw Valley, California. I was on the ski patrol the year before the Olympics and did construction work out there for the Olympics. And then went on to Yale for 4 years.
And your degree was?
That was in history. And that was somewhat of a checkered performance. I ended up not doing terribly well. I was sick of school. And so law school was not in my future. And I even had the dean of the Yale Law School tell me so. He said, "Peter, this may not be for you." And so, with open arms, the Marine Corps welcomed me. And I spent 3 years in the Marine Corps. And I don't know how much further you want to go. That's pretty much my education until I went to the Columbia Graduate School of Business. And the only thing I can remember about that is, I think in my law boards I was in the 37th percentile, and I took the graduate records exam for business school and was in the 98.6, I think.
You found your niche.
Well, I studied ahead of time on how to take tests, so that was good. I enjoyed that very much, did fairly well, and I got an interview with Procter & Gamble, which was very exciting. I went out there and they said, "We understand you were in the top 10% of your class at Yale." And I corrected him and said, "No, it was the 10th percentile." So that's the bottom 10%. And they almost kicked me out the door at that point, but I finished the interview and they decided I could probably do better elsewhere. So that completes the education portion.
And what are you currently working at?
Working at? Well, I'm trying to retire, but I've been a full-time business appraiser for 30 years with one interruption. I worked at U.S. Trust Company in New York from 1970 to 1976. I believe it's 77, somewhere in there. And then I had my midlife crisis, to which we're all entitled, I'm sure. Got divorced and remarried and worked in home repair work for about 6 years.
A very useful profession.
Very useful. So I loved doing that, but I couldn't make any money at it. So I ended up back doing what I had done at the trust company, doing business appraising, and I've been doing that ever since, and pretty much on my own since 1992.
And you enjoy it?
I'm trying to retire. No, if you do the same line of work year after year after year, it gets
A little stale.
Stale is the word. Certainly meeting new people all the time is quite interesting, and I am very interested in entrepreneurial pursuits. So you meet a lot of people who took nothing and built it into something.
Created something. Have you been involved with any town activities here in Lakeville?
I have. On two occasions I was president of the Salisbury Youth Hockey and coached and refereed there for 13 years, getting our three boys through that program. I have been several years on the Firehouse Building Committee, and that ended up with the building of a $3.3 million new firehouse near the Lakeville-Salisbury property line. And currently I am the treasurer of the Salisbury Republican Town Committee. And as on a historical note, back in the 50s you had a preponderance of Republicans, and the pendulum has swung where now it's pretty much a 2-to-1 ratio in favor of the Democrats. So I'm in the minority party at the moment.
Things change. Things do change. Would you give me some recollections of growing up in Salisbury?
Fortunately, this tape will go for several hours. I wish. I think on a broader view, give you some idea of what it was like. This was a time when parents could open the door and let their kids go out and play all day and not worry particularly much about bad things happening. Quite the contrary today. So we could take our bicycles, ride down into town, go to Community Field, and have a pickup game of baseball. This was at one time where Hop Rudd had his Rudd Camp, and there was a bandstand in the middle of the field where, if it was raining, we'd have boxing. Otherwise, we'd be playing baseball. Rudd Camp had several locations. There was one up the top of Belgo Road, pretty much, I guess, with a view of the lake. And ultimately, let's see, then it moved down towards the Grove, so that it was at what is now Hollywood, the Rudd Place.
Mm-hmm.
And then it moved to where the Rudds had their house on the lake, moving more towards the Indian Mountain direction. So,
what kind of activities went on at this camp?
This was certainly a lot of fun. Remember that. Probably the highlight would be we'd have kind of a cops and robbers. Can't remember, it was the fox and the hound or whatever we called it, but you had a canoe would go off somewhere on the lake, and you were limited as to how far you could move away from the lake and hide the canoe. And then after a while, everyone else in camp would then go out and try to find the hidden party, which would then try to make a break for it and get back to camp before they got captured. And so that was a fun activity, certainly. And I mentioned the boxing, and we'd have, I think, certainly storytelling. We played horseshoes when I lost a heartbreaker to Bruce Bauman. And these are things you never forget. I was about to win, and he was getting very close, and I think he had a point, next to the stake and didn't want to disturb the horseshoe. So his last throw, he just threw it to the ground, and it then began to roll on its edge towards the stake. And it kept going and going and finally arrived at the pit and landed against the stake for 3 points, and he won.
What a heartbreak.
So,
oh, dear.
I can tell you a lot about Bruce Bauman. His father ran the plumbing service, which became Bauman and Garrity. And the Garrity was what married to the Garrity at Town Hill.
I was going to ask you that.
Not so good on, he was what, Dolan Garrity?
Yes.
Garrity? When you're a kid, you don't know first names. It's always Mr. or Mrs.
Was Hop Rod Camp co-ed or just boys?
Just boys, yes.
When you were, okay.
I remember, certainly Hop's kids were around, Priscilla Rudd Wolf. The only thing I remember that is that she was tended to whine, and I don't blame her because she was stung by bees. And
anybody would whine.
Anybody would whine.
That's, golly, yeah.
What were some of the shops that were in town? Were there any candy stores or hangouts?
Oh, yes. I was trying to think more of what we did as kids, if I get back to that and then go into that. But some of my friends in town, you had Jerry Clark, his older brother Pepper Clark, his father John Clark, whom you need to interview.
He's been done twice.
Done twice. He's now 97 and I gather sharp as a tack. Bruce Bauman, who lived next to the plumbing service there, is at Bostwick, I guess, the street. And Rip Noble, who his house was directly across from Bostwick. Is that Burton Brook?
Yes.
That runs between the now the bank and his house. And we as children, we boys, would play at the Nobles pick up baseball games. Sandy Matheson would come down from the hill. He had a younger brother. But Bruce is the one I got in trouble with all the time. And those are stories that I just have to quickly tell because they are burnt into my memory. I had access to a small .22 rifle, and it belonged to my grandfather. And I was shooting from the roof outside my window at a croquet ball on the lawn, and the neighbors complained that they could hear bullets whizzing through the trees. So the gun was taken away and ended up in my mother's closet in her bedroom. Bruce wanted to see the gun, and I knew where it was hidden. So he took it down, and my mother, not knowing much about guns, hadn't known that it was loaded. So I was standing next to Bruce, and he, instead of hitting me, he fired a round through my father's closet, and it hit this had a closet door, so I went through the door and hit a framed picture set on top of a stack of drawers. And it was his favorite poem. So there was no way we could hide what had happened when you break the glass and have a hole through the door.
It's pretty obvious.
So that was very lucky. The other incident was we had tunnels all through our yard. We had 7-8 acres up on the hilltop, so there were places to dig forts, pits.
Where on the hilltop are you referring to?
At what point? Around the house?
What house are we talking about?
This is my parents' house.
Which was located where?
Which was located at 151 Millerton Road. And my parents owned from Belgo Road down to the lake. So that was probably about 26 acres, roughly. My brother liked war games. So we had war games, and we had BB gun wars. We weren't allowed to have BB guns, so of course we had BB guns, and this was great fun. And as you have read in that book that was done for me, which others won't see or hear, but we had wars, and my sister shot my brother once at point blank range. That was exciting. Anyway, back to Bruce. We used to shoot hunting arrows into trees, and that was great fun. Fortunately, this particular day, the hunting tips were absent, just regular arrows. And we were shooting arrows into a pit from the raspberry patch. We used to sell raspberries at the foot of the hill. And the arrows would come over the top of the pit and stick into the back of the pit in the dirt, and we would be huddled below the impact area. And my sister tired of this and decided to seat herself on the side of the pit and watch the arrows fly by. Well, there was an errant arrow. And I'm waiting for the next arrow to hit, and I hear, "Ouch!" And I look up, and the arrow was stuck through my sister's head, or so it appeared. It got stuck in a tuft of hair in the back of her head, and I could see the arrow on either side. And Lord knows, that could have literally killed her, obviously put out an eye or something. Mm-hmm. So that was the kind of excitement we had in those days that one can no longer have. So, what did we remember about shops in the area?
When you got on your bike and went into town, was there a place that you got ice cream or comic books?
This
or?
Was Carl's Luncheonette.
And where was that located?
And that was located towards the entrance of Community Field. So this is at the intersection of Route 41 and 44. Whole series of buildings there that have since been removed and replaced. And they had a pinball machine, and it was great fun. But I remember all the stores in that area. And
could you give me a picture of the shops in that area?
See, if you work from Farnham Road going towards Route 44. So we're moving up Route 41, or what's Sharon called, Sharon Road or Montgomery Road, whatever it happens to be now, was the Gulf Station run by Ward Finkel. I think he was certainly high up in the fire department, which was directly across the street. And what I remember from that is the Coke machine, which had this big rotary rack, and when you lifted up the door, it moved the Coke to where you could pull it out, and they cost 5 cents a piece. Great thing to have on a hot day. And that's where my grandfather tripped on the grease pit edge and broke a hip and died on the operating table several weeks later, I guess. It doesn't quite follow, does it? But the timing. But I seem to remember soon after that accident, he was gone, 79 years old. He was a doctor in New Jersey.
Was that Dr. Beckett?
That's Dr. George Beckett, who lived in town from 1945 until 49 when he died, with his daughter Jean Beckett.
After his wife died, he moved here to be with Jean?
Correct. And Jean died at Noble Horizons, 3 weeks short of age 100. She was born in 1907.
A wonderful lady.
and a writer of 17 books of her short stories, and she was published in major national magazines such as Collier's and the Saturday Evening Post and Red Book.
And she had a movie with RKO? There was a contract.
I remember something about that. I think she was disappointed, of course, about what they did to her story.
Mm-hmm.
Moving along, we had, I think, a liquor store, maybe a meat market. But next to that was the three-story building of Barnett's, Five and Dime. Which became Ben Franklin. And that is where every Christmas Bill Rainsford, the first selectman, and the carpenter in town, and whose shop was a small building next to the fire station. At that time we had the railroad tracks going over the brook past the fire station and going to what is now, what was it? It was a radio station, but it was the railroad station.
Yeah.
And that is the part of the rail trail. It runs through Lakeville, Salisbury now. And that had a bridge in it. Trucks would get stuck under there, and they'd let the air out of the tires so they could move through. Bill Rainsford was the Santa Claus, and so year after year, many years, he was the Santa Claus up on the third floor of Barnett's.
And he kept ledger books of every child and what they wanted for Christmas.
Oh my.
And I would love to find out where those books are, but nobody knows.
No.
But at Christmas time, if the parents weren't sure what their little Sally or Johnny wanted, they would have a quiet word.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, Christmas morning, they would get what they wanted.
One would hope, yeah. We have a Bill Rainsford story. Back to BB guns. I built tree houses. I had five tree houses on our property, and one was in the crotch of a maple tree overlooking Route 44 near our driveway. And complaints were coming in, apparently, that cars were being hit by BBs. I have no idea how that could have happened. So Bill Rainsford was parked outside below my treehouse. And in attendance was Chick Bramer, the local policeman. He was elderly, of slight build, and I think he was called Chick, as the rumor goes, because he stole chickens in a former life. And for some reason, I just had to open up, and I shot Mr. Rainsford's car and took off for the house up the hill, followed in pursuit by Mr. Bramer. And of course he got to the house. Fortunately, no one was there. I was hiding out in what we call our barn, next to where we had a football field with lights put in by my brother. So lo and behold, that evening, my mother says, Mr. Rainsford called and would like to see you. Scared to death, and I took my sister with me, bless her heart, for moral support, went down there expecting to be chastised to within an inch of my life, and you would have never guessed what happened. Couldn't have been nicer. And said not to worry, and he went out and looked at the car and said, well, maybe here's a little scratch, but it's nothing. Of course, I didn't tell him he was looking at the wrong side of the car. And Mary Rainsford, his wife, showed me how to get worms to go fishing, pouring coffee onto the ground, and lo and behold, worms would appear, probably drowning. And so that was a very memorable time with Bill Rainsford.
What a wonderful story.
Yeah. So there was a break between the Barnetts and the next building, because there's a huge, probably an elm tree in between us, I recall. I'm pretty sure there was a tree there. That would explain why there was no building. And above the luncheonette, you had Paul Arkell's barbershop and Fish Real Estate. And I think that's all that was there. And then you had Dufour's Garage right at the corner. And then going around the corner, you had Salus Lake. And only recently did I realize that that meant Salisbury Lakeville in truncated, hyphenated form. And then I guess a legend in his own time there, Danny Lafrito's shoe shop.
Oh, he was a love.
And, you know, short fellow there with still with the Italian accent. And, let's see, I'm thinking of someone else, that's why I paused here. Trying to remember what was further on down, but certainly across the street was First National Stores
and
from the corner.
First National then, it wasn't Morris Brickman's.
No. And so in 1956, that's where I got my first job other than mowing grass for a couple of years for people. Golly, my mother would take me around town and help do the edging, and I did Mrs. Fish's properties, and I think I got something like $2 to mow the grass and then 75 cents for edging. And so I think by the end of the summer, the mower had about had it, and what I had earned probably would have bought almost a new mower. So that was a wash, but I had job experience. And so the fellow's name was Johnson, who was the store manager, who married one of the Walsh girls, who was related to Dick Walsh, who was working up in Indian Mountain and was a baseball referee. And then let's see, moving down on that side of the street, was that a liquor store way back then?
It may have been a liquor store at that point. But I think it had been a plumbing shop before that. But this is going further back than you.
Yeah, I wonder who that could have been. And then we had the, was that? See, now I thought that was Brickman's, that building, which is now the Chinese food restaurant.
That was
restaurant.
Gentile's Pharmacy when I came here.
Right. But before that, it was a grocery store. During the war, we had coupons, and that was the store where you gave a slip of paper with your order, and then they would take that long stick with a little squeeze thing on the bottom and the claw at the top, and it would pull the Quaker Oats off the top shelf. And that then became... after Gentiles would be Dick Walsh's pharmacy, and then I suppose what would the Chinese restaurant have come in after Dick?
I think so, yes.
Probably. Dick Walsh, I know, married what, Patricia, begins with F, Flynn or something, but I can't remember the name. and then the post office. So then back across the street, we had, at some point, fairly early on, would have been Borden Real Estate.
Did you remember it when it was an ice cream parlor, or was that before your time?
When what was an ice cream parlor?
Borden's Real Estate.
Oh.
Because of the Borden Milk connection.
Oh, heavens. No, I don't remember that. That's now an art gallery, as you know. And that's pretty much it. I just remember everything going down the street. You have the Methodist Church, which is still there. You had a sewing shop next to the gas station, which is what now Dave Jones Automotive.
Yeah. That was, the sewing shop was Goodwin Dunce's, the seamstress, wasn't it?
She wasn't running it then.
No, she came later.
She came later. This reminds me of the Salisbury Ski Jump and how we were all in those sports programs. And we're going on.